This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and thanks belong to Allah the Most High. We thank Him as we seek in help and aid, and we ask Him to forgive us and protect us from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated, and every religious innovation is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. As we approach the Hajj ritual, the Hajj ibadah, we have to contemplate and think about what it means to us. And we started this last time, bihamdillahi azza wa jal, what it means to us, what it can teach us, and how we should react to it when it is actually there. Because that is a gift, that is a season of ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us. And last time we talked about some of its benefits. And the side of Hajj that we may or may not see, think or not think about. And we want to continue to do this today bi-idhnillah. And as Hajj teaches so many lessons beyond what I'm going to enumerate and talk about, let's focus on few of them. And the one that I want to focus first on today is the lesson of jihad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam made a connection between Hajj and jihad in more than one hadith. In one hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she asks him. He says, O Prophet of Allah, we see that jihad is the best of deeds.
shall we not also participate in it as females, as women? He says, no. وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْكُنَّ جِهَادٌ لَا قِتَالَ فِيهِ But what is an obligation on you is a jihad without fighting. And that is Hajj and Umrah. Another person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, I am jabanun wa da'if. I am weak and I'm a coward. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ala adulluka ala jihadin la shawkata fi. Shall I not tell you about the jihad that has no harm in it? There's no fighting in it. He says, it's Hajj and Umrah. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's, by the way, that's not the last hadith, but just for today. In that third hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that al-ghazi, the mujahid, and the hajj, the person who is in hajj, and the person who is in umrah, are wafdullah. Meaning the people who travel and are received by Allah, the guests of Allah, wafdullah. If they ask Allah for something, He will grant them, and if they ask for forgiveness, Allah will grant them. SubhanAllah, the idea of jihad today is absent. Absent between two extremes. On the one extreme, those who misunderstand it and consequently misapply it and mispractice it. Thinking that jihad is foolishly destruction. Ram your car or van into innocent people, that is jihad. That is not jihad. Jihad is not about destruction, not about killing. See the seerah and life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. His seerah and his life and his da'wah was not about killing other people. That's not jihad. It was about saving. It was about da'wah. It was about paving the way for the acceptance of the truth, not killing people unnecessarily. So there is that extreme. But there's also the other extreme, which is the majority of the ummah that does not think of themselves as in a state of jihad. Every day, you're confronted by choices. One or two. One, two, three or more. One of them is pleasing to Allah and the other is displeasing to Allah. When you take the path that is pleasing to Allah, though it's harder, though it will cost you more, though it demands more sacrifice, when you go against your own weakness and desire, that is jihad. And so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our Rasul, our Messenger tells us, this jihad and this hajj and this umrah is jihad. Because there is sacrifice in it. You're going to have to spend money to go there. You're going to have to go through some hardship, physical hardship, on that journey, during that ibadah and afterwards. You're going to have to restrain yourself. Stop yourself from doing things that it likes to do. Because Allah loves something else. That is jihad. And if you tolerate, and a step higher than that, if you even enjoy that hardship for the sake of Allah, because of Allah Azza wa Jal, you are in jihad. And like jihad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, it forgives all the previous sins. And al-hajj that is mabrur, pious, accepted, virtuous hajj, has no price for it, no reward for it, except Jannah. And then they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Prophet of Allah, what is this hajj that has birr in it? He says, it'amu at'ami wa tibul kalam. He says, feeding people and sweet speech. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is defining it by its consequence. Hajj that is mabrur, meaning that anyone who wants to go to Hajj, you must really get ready for it before you even board the plane. You must be in that state of mind. Why am I going? What am I going to be receiving? What will happen to me there? What do I want from that journey? How will I come back? They say that the consequence of a hajj that is mabrur, you come back a changed person. If you come back the same person, means that that hajj had little effect on you. And if it had little effect on you, it may mean, and Allah knows best, it may mean that you were not fully invested in it. But if you're fully there, it must have an effect on you. And you're fully there when you are heart and mind responding to the call of Allah, realizing the depth of that experience. Al-Hajjul Mabroor means what? You're staying away from haram. All of it. All the prohibitions. And you're obeying Allah to the best of your ability. And now when it comes to the treatment of people, and that is the consequence of your taqwa and your inner ibadah and outer ibadah, it'aam al-ta'am. Not only should you refrain from harming other people, this is your jihad, by the way, when you come back from your hajj. This is your jihad every day when you live in your community. It'aam al-ta'am. You're gracious with others, you're feeding them. Watibul kalam. The only thing that comes out of your mouth is the most beautiful of speech. Remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Kindness towards other people and never harming another person. That is al-hajj al-mabrur. So when we're thinking about hajj, connect it to the idea of jihad. And tell non-Muslims who may actually point to some of these solitary acts, tell them that. If you want to see a true jihad, nowadays, that is taking place according to the kitab and the sunnah, point to the pilgrims, point to the hujjaj. Say that is something that our Prophet ﷺ called a jihad. Not the other part. This part is jihad. Look at it, you'll understand what jihad in Islam is about. The other point I want to share with you today is hajj and its effect at reconnecting you with the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When you go on that journey and you see multitudes, thousands around you, and you hear the statistics, the numbers that tell you that there are millions of Muslims in these spots, and you see the different colors, the different languages, the different cultures and ethnicities, few things come to mind. First of all, a testimony to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the truth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the message that he brought, because this is a fulfillment of his prophecy. It started as a very small religion in Mecca and then in Medina. And at that time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, this Islam will spread to the corners of this earth. It will not leave a house, a place, except that it will enter it. When you see these millions coming from every continent, you'll say, Sadaqa Rasulullah wa Sadaqa Allah Azza wa Jal. They have spoken the truth because I can see it with my own eyes. I can see the spread of Islam. So you can see its greatness and its truth right there in front of you. The other thing, you see the potential of Islam and Muslims. What is the thing that brought all of these things together? Yani you can look at Hajj as also a show of power, or at least a potential. What is the thing that brought them all together? What is the thing that is generating all of this power? And it's one thing only, and it is Islam. And it is only Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah brought all of these people together in this spot. Allah made them worship together in the same way. Allah Azza wa Jal established this bond of brotherhood between them. So you realize, subhanAllah, that Islam has the potential of making the Ummah great again, and you can see this with your own eyes. And the greater the Ummah's attachment to Islam and Iman, the greater its power. And if you go on Hajj and you see weaknesses in akhlaq, weaknesses in belief, weaknesses in practice, you realize Allah is giving you a true picture of the state of the Ummah. Take those lessons, the positive and the negative. Take it and come back to your local community and work on correcting the ummah and raising it from its sleep. Reconnect yourself on one hand to the global ummah. And then learn lessons from that, and then come back to your local community and say, I am part of something that is great. Something that is waiting to be revived. Something that Allah wants to be great on this earth. Be part of that project. Be part of that goal. Let it inspire you, not only there, but when you come back, you say, Allah showed me something great. Let me make it great where I'm living. That is the greatness of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and its potential if we would only strive to capture its glory again. May Allah Azza wa Jal help us to do so. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We go on that journey because we want something specific. The most important thing that we want from Hajj is that Allah forgive us. We want Allah's forgiveness and rahmah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that your Hajj can cancel all of your previous sins. Can cancel all of your previous sins. Can send you to Jannah. That is an opportunity for you, for your dua to be accepted. For you to be freed from the captivity of hellfire. For you to earn the highest levels in Jannah. We must get ready before you board that plane. You must get ready and think about, it's my life that is at stake. It's my life that is in jeopardy of being lost completely if I don't save it. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He starts Surah Al-Hajj, the surah that carries the title of this great worship and talks about it, He starts us with a great and terrifying image. Ya ayyuhannas, ya ayyuhannas, uttaqoo rabbakum, inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un 'azeem. Oh humanity, be in awe, fear of your Rabb, because indeed the shaking of the hour is something great. Allah is going to be talking about Hajj, but He begins by talking about the Day of Judgment. And there must be, and there has to be a connection between the two. One reminds of the other. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا, He says, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. When are you going to be seeing it? Every nursing woman will be distracted and will leave the child that she is nursing. Imagine the gravity of what has taken place, because now she's holding. Any woman knows this who had a child. Anyone knows it. When she's holding that child so close to her, that helpless child, there is nothing more important than that child. The gravity of what is happening makes her drop him. Forget about him. The one who is pregnant drops the child that she has in her belly. And you will see sane, wise people as if they are intoxicated. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَ, but they are not intoxicated. But the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla and what they see in front of them is so great. They are swooning left and right as if they are intoxicated and drunk. That's a glimpse of a scene that will take place on the Day of Judgment. When you're going there for Hajj and Umrah, you're carrying your life or your soul in your hand and saying, Ya Allah, forgive. Ya Allah, pardon. Ya Allah, accept. And the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there is so great. It is so great. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a long hadith, He says, the two rak'ahs that you do after tawaf, it will be as if you have freed a slave from the children of Ismail alayhi salam. He says, when you do sa'i bayna Safa wal Marwa, as if you have freed 70 slaves. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, every step that you take from your home on an animal, if not, Allah will count it as if. Every step that you will take from your place to Mecca, every step will cancel a sin and earn you a good deed. Think about how many steps you'll be taking there. He tells you that when you shave off your hair, Allah Azza wa Jal will give you for every hair that drops a good deed and will cancel a bad deed. Think about how many these are. And he says about the slaughter, when you slaughter it, he didn't mention what the reward is. He says, you will find this with Allah Azza wa Jal. مُدَّخَرٌ لَكَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. You will see this with Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he says, and when you're making your last tawaf, if you do all of this, and you're making your last tawaf, Allah will send an angel. And that angel will put his hand between your shoulders and he will say, Allah had forgiven you everything else that you have done before. اعمل فيما تستقبل. Now take care of what's coming next, because indeed you're forgiven. That is a time to start new and to come back new, clean of sin, clean of disobedience, clean of addiction to sin. So when you are ready, inshallah, and you have planned or you're planning to go, that should be your intention. I want Allah's complete forgiveness, and I want to come back a different person by the will of Allah. I want Allah to give me all of these things in those ahadith. I want to earn the best and the highest of levels in Jannah. That is the purpose of Hajj. But if you're not going to Hajj, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given you that season to earn these good rewards and remember and reconnect with all of these lessons, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that these are the best of days. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَعْظَمُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ الْعَمَلُ فِيهِنَّ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ. He said, there are no days better in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. And deeds are best in them, more than any other day, more than any other days or any other season. And these are the days of Dhul Hijjah. And see the connection again here between jihad and hajj. So they asked him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even a person who engages in jihad, he says, even the person who engages in jihad, except a person who leaves his home and he loses both his wealth and life in jihad, that's the only exception, the only deed that is better than your worship during the days of Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Anything else, your ibadah in those 10 days supersedes. So think about it, inshaAllah. If your intention is the forgiveness of Allah, when these days are going to start, what is it that you're going to do? What is your plan? How much of them do you want to take? How close do you want to come to Allah Azza wa Jal? Take care in them of your salah. We have to emphasize salah, and salah on time. Salah in jama'ah, if possible. Take care of your sunnahs, before and after, according to the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But take care of those basics. Now you can add to it, bi-idhnillah, fasting. You can fast the 9, from the 1st to the 9th. And in particular, the 9th, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, fasting that single day forgives the sins of 2 years. The previous one and the coming one. So though you're not standing in Arafah, but you are still worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal during that day. And you're part of the forgiveness of Allah during that day. And you are part of those who supplicating Allah during that day. So the best of dua is the dua of the day of Arafah. That is the pinnacle, right? That is the pinnacle. But before we reach it, we talked about salah. We talked about fasting. And also the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, because that was mentioned explicitly in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَكْثِرُ فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. Meaning, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. So when these days start, you remember Allah often in them. The dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. and then increase your ibadah in general, sadaqah, visiting your relatives, kindness in general, whatever ibadah, whatever opportunity, you take advantage of it, and you get ready gradually, you get ready till the day of Arafah, because on the day of Arafah, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives sins, Allah Azza wa Jal pardons people. Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest sky, as the Prophet ﷺ told us. And he boasts about those who are worshipping Allah in that state, in the rough state that they're in. And he's asking their angels, what do they want from me? Why did they come here? They want my forgiveness. They are repenting. I make you witnesses that I've forgiven all of them. So subhanAllah, if we cannot physically be there, we can be spiritually there and part of that ibadah. By engaging in ibadah on that day. Fasting it, the ninth, the day of Arafah. Fasting it, making dua offering, saying la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, and whatever types of ibadah inshallah that we can put in it, reading of the Quran, feeding people, this and that, fill it with ibadah, because that is a season that we should not neglect. And the last thing inshallah that I want to comment on or mention or remind of is that, as you have heard before the khutbah started, there are brothers who are in need of your help, a need for you. Actually, you need them more than they need you, because the thing that you need for, that they need from you is money. The thing that you need from them is what? The hasanat. That is, when you're giving dollars, they can't give you anything really. When you give in dollars, Allah is giving you in return hasanat, and that is far more valuable than anything that you can give them. So when you're giving, you will be given back something in return. So you need them more than they need you. And you need them also, and we need them, because investing in Islamic education, subhanAllah, at times, is more important than investing in masjids. Because when you invest in Islamic education, you're investing in those students, and in their akhlaq, and in their iman, and their ibadah. You're investing in their iman and Islam. How will they turn out after 5, 10, 15 years? Depends on who they are now and where they go to school and who's teaching them. And if they don't have that facility, then we could lose them. And how much would you pay when you see someone who has gone astray, or under the addiction of this or that, or on the wrong path? How much would you pay to put them back on the right path? How much would you buy Jannah for them? How much would you buy Jannah for your child? These are our children. So when you are giving, you are really giving to save the next generation. And that is a sadaqah jariyah. Because if they learn something because of you and it stays with them, you will be rewarded until they die. And maybe even beyond. So if you want to invest for something that is crucial, that will give you something back, and that we really need, invest in Islamic education. They are here. So let's give them, so that Allah Azza wa Jal may give us something greater than whatever we are donating. And remember the days of Dhul Hijjah. If you're going on Hajj, get ready for it from now. If not, get ready for those days from now and have a plan for them. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us all of our sins. That's what we know about and that which we do not know about. And we ask Allah to make us of those who get ready for the season of Hajj and the ibadah of Hajj, and to worshipping Him during that time. Ya Allah, give us the strength and sincerity to worship you during that time. Make us of those who ask for your forgiveness, and make dua, and fast, and pray on time, and read the Quran, and come back to you, and give us a sincere repentance, so that we are closer to you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, rather than being close to the dunya. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to accept the pilgrimage, the Hajj of those who are going to be there, and to send them back or to bring them back safely to their families, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to unite the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon your book and the Sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to bring us closer to you and to fill our hearts with your love and the love of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ya Allah, give us power against our addiction and over our addictions to sin and over our addiction to this dunya, so that, Ya Allah, we favor you over this dunya and we favor you over ourselves. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wa na'udhu bika min an-nari wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wa nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka 'abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma ista'adhaka minhu 'abduka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub thabbit qulubana 'ala dinik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub sarrif qulubana 'ala ta'atik. Allahumma a'inna 'ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni 'ibadatik. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba 'amalin yuqarribu ila hubbik. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana ajma'in. Allahumma ma 'alimna minha wa ma lam na'lam warzuqna tawbatan nasuha. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Aslih lana sha'nana kullah wa la takilna ila anfusina tarfat 'ain. Wa aqimis salah.
Allahu Akbar.